Welcome to the My Third Bloom podcast, where we get into unfiltered conversations about the powerful journey of aging gracefully during perimenopause and menopause, breaking taboos and embracing transformation. I'm your host, Trisha Blake, founder, CEO, and Chief Awesome Officer of My Third Bloom, where we are on a mission to empower those experiencing perimenopause and menopause. We're guided by empathy and fueled by innovation. We provide support, education, and resources. Whether you're navigating the roller coaster of hormonal changes or seeking a supportive community, you're in the right place. Buckle up and get ready to bloom with strength, wisdom, and grace. Hey, listeners, welcome to the next episode of the My Third Bloom podcast. This is a podcast where we speak openly and honestly about the changes, challenges, and opportunities that come with this midlife chapter. Our next guest is a recently published author and passionate advocate for menopause awareness. Her voice rings with truth, care, and clarity, and it comes from a deeply personal place. Born in the UK and now living in Canada for over 20 years, she brings an international lens and a generous heart to every conversation. Through storytelling, community building, and myth busting, she's helping countless women feel seen and supported during one of life's most misunderstood transitions. Her mission is bold and beautiful to create safe spaces where midlife women can finally breathe, be heard, and as we like to say, also bloom. Please join me in giving a warm My Third Bloom podcast welcome to Michaela Cummings. Hey, Michaela.
Hi, Trish. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. I really do appreciate it, and I'm happy to be with you today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for saying yes. We are thrilled to have you here, and we're just going to jump right in. Can you start by sharing what moves you, Michaela? Like, what excites you? What gets you going?
What gets me going right now is talking about menopause and my own menopause experience. It was a difficult journey for me, if I'm honest. And based on this difficulty or the struggle, this has led me to want to talk about menopause in a more positive light. I'd say that's what moves me at the moment, speaking about menopause.
All right. Moves us too over here at My Third Bloom. So we're like kindred spirits. Talk to us about the book then. Like, you said your experience wasn't the best.
Okay, so the inspiration for my book, The Menopause Change Diary, was basically based on my own personal experience of menopause. I'd say the suffering and the pain and the inexperience of knowing what was happening to my body led me to start journaling and writing about it. I happened to be in one of the most beautiful places in the world. So I was actually in Italy when I started to experience many, many symptoms like lack of sleep. I was having a lot of yeast infections. My moods were very much up and down. I didn't really know what was happening to me in this moment. I felt really sad and hopeless, like my world had ended. And I couldn't quite understand what was happening to me. And I really couldn't understand what was happening to me because Italy is one of my happiest places to be. And yet I felt a sense of hopelessness, like my world had ended. It was as if nothing could bring me back to the moment. I was just so low mentally and emotionally. And I really couldn't understand why I was feeling like this. I had no reason to feel like this. I was living my best life, great husband, nothing really to complain about. We had moved over to Italy to spend some time in Italy.
Where in Italy?
In Calabria.
Okay.
Yeah. So I had nothing to complain about. As I mentioned, I did notice these changes that were happening, but I didn't really think anything of it. And I just kind of continued with my life. I continued on with my life. It wasn't until, I started to also notice the irregularity of my periods. So basically the irregularity, I'd had months where I'd miss a period, then I had a heavy period, and then one night I happened to be on a cruise. We had gone on a Mediterranean cruise, 11-day cruise. The cruise went okay. Everything was good. On the last night, I spent the entire night in my bedroom, unable to leave the room because I was just bleeding heavily. It's as if I had a whole period in one night. And then I realized the change, there was some kind of change happening. So, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was saying in Italy, when you're speaking with medical professionals about these changes, how is that received?
So I wasn't actually speaking to any medical professionals. This was probably the start of my perimenopausal journey, so I wasn't speaking to professionals at all. It wasn't until I actually returned to Canada and, I continued to have the issues, right? I continued to have the sleepless nights, the insomnia, the brain fog, mood swings. I had very, very mentally feelings of being, feelings of suicide, just really, really low feelings and, changes that continued to happen. When I came back to Canada, I actually managed to speak to my doctor, and we never really had any in-depth discussions about menopause. And so, basically, I would say I was on my own. We were in the midst of the pandemic, and 5 years ago, there was no visual information out there. So I was navigating a path basically on my own, struggling in silence, not really seeing any information. My doctor wasn't giving me any information. So I felt I was just trying to navigate a path for years. My sleep lasted for many, many years where I didn't sleep, but I just got on with life. I just continued to go. There were times when I was, you have your days when you have the up days, the down days. And I just continued basically, experiencing symptoms, nobody to talk to. I spoke about the sleep issue to my doctor, but we were amidst the pandemic. So I was unable to actually, she recommended a sleep clinic for me. But I was unable to go in there because of the pandemic, right? And our access to medical professionals. So the sleep continued continuously. It wasn't until I'd say 2023, which is when I decided I sort of had enough of this and I just had to start advocating for myself. In the meantime, as I'm actually going through all this, I'm actually journaling and writing. The idea had come from Italy to continue writing what I was experiencing in my book, as well as as life events that happened as well. During the pandemic. So that was the inspiration behind my book, just because of the struggle that I was going through myself. So I was actually writing it down as it happened. The discussions with my doctor were, I have a great doctor. However, we never really touched on the discussions. She didn't want to offer me antidepressants for the hot flashes, which I mentioned, but there was no real depth in discussions. There was no discussions on HRT. There was nothing, and I was none the wiser. So, in all honesty, I actually turned to social media in 2023, and I started to see women on there and community, and I started an Instagram account, and this was really my outlet, where I started to see women sharing their stories. And that made me feel, obviously feel a lot better because the mindset during that whole period was very negative. And so, that we know the narrative around menopause is very negative, but imagine that you're in that narrative and, you see nothing but doom and gloom.
Wanted to change that.
So I wanted to change that. I had sort of had enough. I started to advocate myself. I came across a clinic. I tried some over-the-counter, supplements and different things to see if they can help me with my symptoms. I tried to alter my diet, in ways. I tried to, change my habits and alter my diet. But the nothing was working, and I was kind of becoming very desperate. Really desperate, and then I actually happened to come across Unity Health Toronto, where there was a menopause clinic, and I thought, well, the next appointment when I go to my visit my doctor, I'll go and see the menopause. I'll go and I'll ask my doctor to see if I can, get a requisition for the menopause clinic, because she didn't advise me that there was this or anything, that could help. So on the next visit to the doctor, I asked her if I could, be referred, and she said, "Yeah, it's a 7 month to a 1 year wait to see a menopause specialist." But I was just wondering why I had never been given or told about this, given the fact that I was experiencing a lot of sleep issues and, a lot of symptoms along with that. So I asked for the requisition, and she provided that, and I waited 7 months to see a menopause specialist in Toronto, and then I was prescribed HRT. But that was a personal choice, and that was basically out of my own suffering. And I didn't want to suffer any longer, and this was the only way for me. I wanted to try something, something more. I had actually done a little bit of research and started to look into it. And so this is the reason why I decided to give it a try.
And so that was 2023, but we're now in 2025. There's a lot of clinics and specialists, and it's getting a little bit easier to find them now.
Do you think so?
Yes. Probably because I'm
Yeah.
in space and I'm looking.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So I'm going back. When I look back 5 years ago, there was nothing.
Right.
And so
But
it
5 years
wasn't.
later, yeah,
Yeah,
true.
5 years later, and like you were saying, you do see more. It's that's progress, because 5 years ago there was nothing for in my eyes. I didn't see any visibility of anything, of any clinic, of any not even I didn't even actually know about the Menopause Foundation of Canada at that point. So I knew nothing. And so I just feel it was left to me on my own to figure all this out. Having taken that now for over a year and a half, I do, I'm in a much better place. I feel a lot better, and this has given me the energy to want to keep talking about this. Like, why are we not talking and talking and talking? Women are suffering needlessly, and I suffered, but I don't want to see women suffering unnecessarily. When all it is, I didn't have the resources and I didn't have the information. Had I had that, I probably would have been able to thrive through my journey instead of actually reaching it, not knowing where the heck I was or what was happening to my body at the time. But this is it's led me to be compassionate, and also just to educate myself about my body and educate myself about lots of other things now. It's just a path of self-discovery.
I love that. I think that's the same for a lot of women. Once you have the awareness and the understanding, like, okay, there is some self-discovery that's happening. Like I said, there's tools, there's resources, there's virtual platforms now that you don't have those long waits. Like, you can get to somebody. There is info like Felix, Coral, Medcan. There's so many now. And
Yes.
even Menopause Foundation of Canada or the Menopause Society as well, having directories where you can find specialists in the area where you are, either in the US or here in Canada,
Yeah.
We've come a long way and we continue to, I think make progress there.
And that's so important. And when I look at that, I just, it's amazing, right? And it's something new for obviously the future generations and for women. The thing is getting it out there and women knowing about these organizations, though, because I know women I had talked to, they didn't know about the Menopause Foundation existed. So, and it's, I guess, where you get your information from, right? So, I mean, these things just need to be at the forefront, I think, in Canada, because based on my own experience, I just felt it was lagging.
Yes, very true.
But from what you're saying, it seems like leaps and bounds, right? 5 years on. We're
Oh my
making
goodness.
progress
From
and a
nothing
lot.
to something.
Yes.
That's big. We have a ways to go, but like I can't, I'd be remiss to say that we don't have anything, but we do, you know, and it's to get that information out there. We do. And it's there, and you can do searches and find things. And you do have to be careful with social media as well,
I
because
know.
with some influencers, it can be a lot of misinformation, but you have to be able to discern. And I think one of the points you made earlier was also knowing your body and knowing that suffering should never be the option. And there are supports that are out there. And if you're not getting that information from, you know, your medical doc, like you got to start asking around. Like that's part of the advocacy piece. Like, where do you know, find this information? Who are the resources? There's a lot of books. You know, you can go on Indigo. There's so you have a book, but there's so many thought leaders, different doctors
Of course.
writing about this. It's definitely a movement that's happening, but I'd like to see us go from once you have the information, what are you going to do with it?
Yes.
You know,
Yes.
how do we get people to take action? Like, go and make the appointment. If you haven't seen your gynecologist or you don't have one, maybe get one. You know,
Yeah.
be pre how do you prepare yourself for the conversations to educate people? One of the
Yes.
things I didn't, I thank you for sharing about Italy, because I think initially I was going to be like, oh, it's three cultures, it's two cultures, but it's actually three if it was Italy, UK, and Canada, right? So, what are some differences in how those places talk about menopause?
To be honest, they don't, or they may, but I don't know because I wasn't really. I was in my own world in
Right.
Italy. My husband's from Italy, so I was there, but nobody's having these conversations, like
Okay.
in or in the people that I'm was surrounded with. Nobody's talking about this, right? It's, I don't know, maybe their era, they just get on with it.
Right.
Pretty much like my mother's generation did. They just, they were the silent generation. They even if they were experiencing it, they were quiet about it. They just got on with it, and there was no, I didn't even know if my mother was having a hot flash or something like that, but they just got on with it. So there's no real conversation in Italy as far as when I was there, around this. So I was just struggling in my own bubble, really, on my own.
What about the UK?
So the UK, I'm not sure because I've been here for this long, but I
Right.
from what I can see online, they're further ahead than Canada.
Yes, definitely.
So,
We got some catching up to do.
yeah. But
We
we'll
have.
get there, right? I mean, the key is now we're like you say, we're talking now, and as for the clinics and things like that, the wait times and stuff like that, right? It has advanced. Any opportunity I get now to, because I moved out to a smaller community
Right.
in Chatham, and any opportunity I get to go out and to talk about menopause, I take that opportunity up, right? Because I know there's women suffering in the community around here,
Right.
and we need to keep talking.
Definitely keep the conversation going. Many people st still think that menopause is just hot flashes and mood swings, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And we know it's a lot more than that. What's one myth about menopause you'd love to bust?
What's one myth that I'd love to
Yeah.
bust?
Yeah, about menopause that you'd love to bust, and what truth would you put in its place from your experience?
So that menopause is not all about hot flashes. It encompasses a lot more than a hot flash. But I think that's mainly what we see in, in the media is we see, a woman sweating or, she's having a hot flash. We just see a hot flash. So it's not, it's more than a hot flash, and there are a lot more symptoms. And I can attest to experiencing a lot of those symptoms, a lot of those symptoms, are probably about 30 of them symptoms, like without realizing at the time.
Right.
So Yeah, I think that's a myth that should be busted. I mean, it's not just, it is more than a hot flash, you know?
Yes. So what do you think is missing from the conversation, especially for, we're both like lived experience, advocates, right? For menopause, what do you think is missing from the conversation for women in their 30s and early 40s who haven't reached this phase yet?
I think education and information. I think looking back now, when I look, because I was like 49, probably 48 when I started to notice certain changes. But when I look back now, if I'd have been educated in my 30s or even 35, I could have prepared myself better. So I would say the missing piece is just in information and education and knowledge, because knowledge is power. And when you know better, you can do better. You
Absolutely.
can prepare yourself better.
Yes.
When I look back now, I just, in my late 40s, I just continued on with it. However, if even 5 years prior, I'd have known more, I could have done more.
Right.
Therefore, my transition through menopause, it would have been a lot smoother. I'd have had the tools, the resources, and I would have been a bit more educated and informed
Right.
about these changes, right? Rather than just these changes happening and, heart palpitations, for example. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. Like the tinnitus in the ears, all these other symptoms. I mean, these were just, the joint pain, so many things, right, happening to you.
Yes.
But just not really having a clue. So I would say education, 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 knowledge, information, conversation. And we just, as you mentioned, we just need to keep the conversation going, because women shouldn't have to, as you say, suffer.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
No
Let's talk
problem.
about safe spaces. That resonates with you, right? What does a
Safe.
safe space look like?
What does a
Safe space.
in the context of?
These conversations, how do you create the space to have like courageous, vulnerable conversations about things that we don't necessarily talk about with our bodies? You talked about going into the community more and advocating. You have to have a safe space to be able to share.
Yes.
So, like that is what I see in the work, the advocacy work that you're trying to do. So I see it as creating safe spaces, and that's important for the conversation and education. So from that definition, what does that safe space look like and feel like to you in where you are right now in your journey?
Yeah, so the safe space, I think, is just making a welcoming space for people. Somewhere where they can feel confident to talk and not embarrassed. Because I think as well, there's a fear surrounding menopause or reaching menopause, right? And there's still a lot of, people, they don't want to talk about it. So I think it's just a matter of trying to create these spaces. As much as possible, so women can feel heard and supported, about sharing, right? Because sometimes there's a hesitancy, I think, to share when we talk about this. And so, yeah, creating a safe space, I think, is just, it's really, really important.
And what advice would you have for women trying to create a support system for themselves?
I would say, yeah, creating a support system, I think, try to confine maybe in friends and family. Reach out to community. Although sometimes, like, reach out, like, there are Facebook groups, there are other types of virtual groups and things that are happening. However, from my own experience, trying to create a support system, I did join some Facebook groups, but to be honest, I found them a little bit, I don't know, how can I put it? There are some that are probably supportive, but I just felt it was just a very negative headspace in some of the groups. So I had to bring myself out of them because I didn't want to feel more down. And that's during the, during that transition, that's, you feel like that, right? Mentally. So I think for creating a space, it just has to be more of a vibrant space or a support system that's a bit more empowering, and not just the doom and gloom side of it, because we know we can get caught and spiral into that, that side of it, right? Because that's the negative side of it. Whereas I think, creating that, having a support system that's a bit more empowering for women, to show women that, this isn't the end. This is a new beginning. It doesn't mean that you have to be invisible now. This is your time to shine. Your time to get out there and, discover and learn and continuously learn about what's happening. And just, we don't need to shy away and just disappear and be invisible, right? We want to, you want to share your lived experiences, right? You have things in common with women. We want to lift each other up. You want to help each other. You've walked that path. And so now it's time, for you to lead the way and help somebody walk that path, but not in the same way that you walked the path, right? You struggled. You want them to thrive during their journey or walking their path, right? Because you now have the tools and resources to help them, right? You've been there, you've experienced it. Obviously, like anything, you always want evidence-based information. I am not a doctor or a medical professional. And that's not something that I would ever preach, but it's more about a supportive, being there as a support, right? Or having that support system. You have your medical professionals for guidance, and they're there, whether it's a nutritionist or a gynecologist or your healthcare provider. These people are there to, guide you and talk to you about management options should you decide to go that route or should you need them. I am not there and I don't preach to be there. I'm somebody who's walked in the shoes of someone who's lived an experience, although we keep in mind that our experiences are unique, and no experience is the same. So, we have to always respect that. And some women, obviously, they don't have any symptoms and, their experience is totally different. But we still have to respect that as well. But we leave the evidence-based stuff and the professionals, to do their job.
So before we wrap up, let's have a bit of fun. I got one question. If you could go back and give one piece of advice to the younger Michaela about the menopause transition, what would it be?
As I said before, education.
Education to help me.
Education and information, and knowledge, that's, I think, just that's the missing piece. If I was informed and I knew what to expect, then I could have handled things differently. Instead, I just went along with it, right? Not knowing what was going on, and just continued. So I think for me, education is the most important piece. For anyone, or like you say, younger, somebody who's younger, definitely the education side of it, the education piece, I think, is missing, and information. You have to be informed.
Well, where can our listeners find you and learn more about you and your book?
Okay, so my book is The Menno Change Diary. And that is, I have a website. My website is www.themennochange.com. And then I am on Instagram at themennochange. And I am on TikTok as well, but I'm not very big on TikTok. So
But we
still learning. And I am on Facebook and yeah. And so that's really mainly Instagram, I would say. I go on Instagram really most because that's the place where I went on there due to my own lack of knowledge, etc. And I turned to Instagram, I think it was, and based on some leaders that are leading the way prior, I found information and masterclasses, and that's what taught me certain things around menopause. So, one of the ladies that I actually was the first lady that I actually found was the Menopause Chicks. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Surely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had seen her masterclass. She was one of the first people that I'd seen the masterclass in Canada. I didn't see too many other people like in Canada, that I was looking at the time. And then through continuing to search and stuff, and then I found Sam Core Trainer, is it?
Okay.
Yeah, she's another lady. I mean that, you were looking for tidbits and advice and different things, right? So, but yeah, apart from that, it was mainly international people in the UK, right? Or in the States. Yeah, so there was not too much, I don't know, too much talk in within Canada, but I happened to stumble across these people, so
And they're growing, and you're one of them too. So
yes.
finally, what's blooming for you next in work life? Is there another book on the horizon?
Yep, so
What
not a
exciting
book.
things are coming up?
Yeah, so not another book yet at the moment. I'm hoping to before the year's out to start a support service for women. So that's probably what is on the horizon, and I continue to do my my menopause work within the community. I spend my time volunteering often. So it's just keeping the word alive, right? And continuing to talk about it because I think it's something that we shouldn't ever close that chapter and not talk about it. We just need to keep expanding and talking about it more and more and more, so
Love
people
that.
get tired of us.
Never tired.
Never tired,
Never
no.
tired. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michaela. Thank you for showing up with heart, and hope, just letting people know that you can actually thrive through menopause. It can be
Yes.
difficult, but inform yourselves, educate, build that awareness. There's resources that are out there. Your work is proof that midlife is in a crisis. It's a
Yeah,
calling, which is
it
what you
is.
need here. And your voice is exactly what this moment needs. And to our listeners, if you've ever felt overwhelmed, overlooked, or just plain over it, know this, you're not alone.
Yes.
You are not alone. And Michaela's story reminds us that menopause doesn't end us. It introduces us to a deeper, wiser version of ourselves. So thank you for joining us. And with that, I will say we are out.
Thank you for having me, Trisha.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of My Third Bloom. If you found value in our conversation, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Your support means the world to us and helps us reach more incredible souls like you. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. Connect with us on social media at My Third Bloom, visit our website, and be part of our thriving community. Until next time, keep blooming and embracing the beauty of your third bloom. This is Trisha Blake signing off with peace, love, light, and grace.